Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Into the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan with you until 11 o'clock on this first edition of the CDGA Golf Show for the new season. And it's our pleasure now to welcome on golf's number one social media influencer, Paige Sporanic. She joins us now. She will be here at the Chicago Golf Show a little bit later on this afternoon here in Rosemont, so make sure to make your way on out here for that. She joins us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Good morning, Paige. How's Chicago treating you so far?
Good morning. I mean, I love Chicago, so I'm always excited to come back.
Paige, welcome. And, you know, we're going to see you here in just a couple of hours. And judging from this crowd, Chicago is your kind of town. So how often do you make it to our golf market, and how much do you play here?
You know, quite a bit. I think I was here 5 or 6 times last year. A lot of my partners are here, so I work with X Golf and Swag and Club Champion, and so it's always nice to come here and see them. And then I'll be out at Geneva National as well, which I know is not in Chicago, but I know a lot of you guys make it your way there as well. So always kind of around in this area, and I love Wrigley, and it's kind of the first place I fell in love with baseball. So again, it's always nice to come back.
So I take it you're a Cubs fan, correct?
You know, I am now. So I was never a big baseball fan. And then when there was a PGA Tour event out in Chicago and one of my friends was playing and he was like, hey, just come to the game. And I was like, oh, I mean, I don't really want to. And when I was there and I saw the atmosphere and how in love people are with the Cubs, and it was something so incredibly special in the area, and I'm like, yep, now I'm a Cubs fan. So a bit of a bandwagon Cubs fan, but you guys have welcomed me in, so I really appreciate that.
Well, that's great to hear. So when you're here, what is among your favorite golf course to play when you come to Chicago?
The funny thing is that I always play on the simulator. So I don't play too many of the golf courses outside. So when I'm here, I'm playing like St. Andrews at X Golf, and I'm playing Kapalua, and I'm playing all these golf courses. So I need to make it out when the weather is actually nice and play courses. But I remember I played at a course back in college. Like, I had a couple of college events here as well. So yeah, I need to do like the true Chicago golf trip. So what course would be on my first to go?
Well, I think Tyler and I, we could definitely get a fourth and bring Paige and take her up to maybe either like a Shore Acres or out to Cantini or up to Glenview Park. What do you think?
Any of those three work for me?
Yeah.
Those are three good ones
I'm
right
in.
There. By the way, this segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Paige Sporanic joining us right now on the Jersey Mike's hotline here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Paige, golf's number one social media influencer. At what point did you realize that was going to be your career?
You know, it's funny. I just kind of happened to fall into it. So I was trying to play golf professionally, and it is extremely expensive. And so I started my media career to pay for my golf career. And when that definitely didn't work out, I was like, okay, I can use this and I can leverage this. But at that time, this was 8 years ago now, no one was really doing that in the golf space. And so I really just kind of started this little like movement, especially with, you know, girls starting golf and, you know, being golf influencers, which is really, really cool to think about. But yeah, it there wasn't like a career path, and I had to kind of carve it out myself. But I'm so happy that I did, and it's kind of the best of both worlds because I love golf so much, and I wanted to play golf, obviously, professionally. And when that didn't work out, I still wanted to stay in the golf industry. And so it just worked out so perfectly.
Well, Paige, you come from a pedigree of athletes. Your father played for the national champion University of Pittsburgh Panthers, along with Tony Dorsett. Your sister, Lexi, was on a track scholarship at Stanford. And so a lot of people don't really know how you found golf. You apparently had a couple of knee injuries in gymnastics. Tell us what that was like, giving up like a door closes, because you had aspirations of going to the Olympics, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, and on my mom's side, she was a professional ballet dancer, and my aunt was a professional tennis player. So we had almost all the sports covered except for golf. And I was doing gymnastics at a really high level. I wanted to go to the Olympics, but with gymnastics, you have to be 16 or turning 16 in the year of the Olympics. And so the first year that I would have been eligible would have been when I was 18. And that's a little bit past your prime. You peak when you're like 14, 15, 16. And I just had too many injuries, ended up fracturing my kneecap twice, and just didn't love it. It's a high-intensity sport. It's very scary. Just wasn't fit for me. And so my dad, he was a recreational golfer, and he was like, I think you should try this. I think it'll be fun. And I fell in love with it right away. And I was being homeschooled because of gymnastics, and so I just kept being homeschooled for golf, and my entire dream was to be a professional athlete. And then when gymnastics didn't quite pan out because of injuries, switching over to golf, I really wanted to play golf professionally. And I don't think a lot of people realize that when they see my social media presence, that, you know, I would grind blood, sweat, and tears every single day on the range when I was 13 to try to play professionally and had a good junior golf career. But yeah, it was a pretty quick transition. I fell in love with it immediately, and but didn't come from a big golf family, so it's kind of weird how I fell into that as well.
That is absolutely amazing, and you know, to your point, a lot of people don't know just how good a junior golfer you were. You became top 20 junior player in the world. You were a top 5 college recruit and a 2-time West Region Player of the Year, which earned you the scholarship to Arizona. You transferred over to, you know, San Diego State, and I've read where you described the happiest moment is when you led the Lady Aztecs to their first Mountain West Conference championship in school history. Why is that the happiest time of your life?
Yeah, I don't think people realize, again, like how much I put into it, and I had a really successful junior golf career, but because I was homeschooled and sheltered, going to school with people my own age really was tough on me. And so college was hard to balance personal life with trying to be an athlete and, you know, all of that. It's a real struggle. And so when I transferred to San Diego State, I was in a really bad place, just emotionally and also with my golf game and my golf career. I lost that desire to play, and I ended up getting it back at SCSU, and I was team captain my junior and senior year. And when I came to SCSU, we weren't even a top 100 program, and we worked ourselves up into a top 20 program, and we won it for the first time. And so just to do it as a team, because gymnastics is so individualized and golf is so individualized, it was nice to do something together with, you know, lifelong friends. I just had such an amazing experience at SCSU as well with my coach, Leslie Spalding. We're still very close to this day. So that it was just such a really great moment for me in my golf career, and something that I'll always remember forever. But yeah, it was a grind. It's a grind in junior golf. It's a grind in college. And then, you know, I tried it for a year and I was like, you know, it's just not for me.
Paige Sporanic's our guest here on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above golf's number one social media influencer, joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Paige, you talk a lot about how, like, going through in the grind of trying to make it as a professional on the LPGA Tour, how tough was it to give it up and to pivot in another way for your ultimate career?
Yeah, it was really difficult, and it's still something that I, you know, deal with daily, where you feel like a failure because you didn't achieve the one goal that you had, you know, in your life. And so I had to pivot quite quickly, and the start of my professional golf career was quite rocky because I had so many eyes on me. And when you're first starting out, you're going to succeed, but you're going to fail a lot more, especially in golf. And I couldn't do that privately, and so anytime I had a bad tournament, I would get thousands of comments of people telling me to quit and how bad I was, and it just really ate at me emotionally. And my dad said he knew the moment that I was never going to make it was when I won my first pro tournament. And the first thing I said was just, I'm happy that was over with. And there wasn't true joy. And he said that to get through golf, you have to really enjoy the highs because there's going to be so many lows. And the highs didn't outweigh the lows for me. And so it was actually quite easy for me to step away. And I, again, I'm better suited to be doing social media, and it's just something that I'm much better at. People don't realize that when you're playing golf competitively at such a high level, that you could have the skill set to be able to compete, but if you don't have it mentally, you're not going to make it. Or if you don't have the financial resources, you're not going to make it. Or you could have that, and then you can't, you know, maybe your wedges aren't good enough, you're not going to make it. And so people don't realize how good they truly, truly are. And even till this day, I don't practice as much as I used to, like nowhere close to how much I used to. And I can still go out and shoot, you know, 72 under par. And even when I was playing competitively, I'd go out and play just for fun and shoot 66, 65, and I wasn't good enough. And it's just another level, and you have to have everything working and in your favor to make it to the LPGA or the PGA Tour, and very few do it, and they're so incredibly gifted and patient, and all the things that I did not have, I didn't make it. But again, it was actually quite an easy transition, and I was lucky that I did have a backup plan because a lot of people aren't in that position to be able to do so.
Paige, do you ever regret not trying to stick it out a little bit longer, or do you just kind of look at your life now and be like, huh, maybe I should have done this a little bit earlier?
You know, I think everything works out the way it's supposed to, because I look back on my career and maybe I wish I didn't play Dubai, but Dubai was a big catalyst in my career. And then I think of different things that have happened, and what if I didn't transfer, if I did this. And I'm so lucky to be able to do what I do, and I wouldn't trade it with anyone. I love my job so incredibly much, and I am much better suited for this. There are times, though, where, you know, I'll lay awake at night and I'm like, I could have made it. And I let people dictate like my happiness. And it was just a lack of maturity. You know, I was 22, 23 when all of this happened, and I wasn't equipped to handle any of it. No one prepared me for it. No one was expecting it. And I just did the best that I could with with the little maturity that I had. I go back and forth and I think about it, but I'm much happier now. And I don't think I would have liked life on tour as much as the life that I live now.
So Paige, given your role in the game today, as well as on social media for that matter, who do you ultimately want to have the biggest influence on? And as you look to the future, what would your legacy look like?
Gosh, that's such a hard question. It's changed a lot. I think when I first got into this, I clearly wanted to grow the game. I wanted to do so much good within the game. But, you know, I had a lot of backlash because I do things quite differently and it's unconventional. And so my career has been altered and it's changed and my goals have changed. And I think now I want to show that golf is for everyone and it's fun. And, you know, I grew up on uni golf courses. Like, I used to clean the pro shop to pay for golf balls. And, you know, I just feel like a bit of a misfit sometimes in the golf community and uncomfortable at country clubs and uncomfortable in certain situations. And I've noticed through my social media that there's a lot of people that feel the same way that I do. And so I really try to appeal to them and the people who might be uncomfortable getting into golf, but they really want to, and showing different ways that you can do it that are cost efficient and places that you can go that are fun and that you feel comfortable, and making golf look cool to, you know, a younger group of people. And I think that's really what I want my legacy to be a real disruptor in the game and doing something that's different and pushing the boundaries and not doing the same thing that everyone else is doing. And I know that comes with, you know, a lot of hate, and I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I think you just have to keep pushing forward and keep pushing forward to make other people feel uncomfortable, to make people feel comfortable, not uncomfortable, comfortable as well.
You know, make people uncomfortable. Well, obviously, you're making over 11 million people very comfortable. So, I mean, your brand is just amazing. So it's been fun to watch that thing grow. If we stepped up on the first tee and we said, hey, let's play a $10 Nassau, what would Paige Sporanic's index be today?
Oh, gosh. I just say I'm a scratch now. I haven't kept my handicap since, college, junior golf maybe.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just say I'm scratch, and I'll play from whatever tees people want to play from. But I was thinking about them. Like, I probably should get my handicap back again because I get invited to so many member guests and members. And I'm like, maybe I could turn this into, like, a little business or something.
So if you're in a clutch situation and you want to hit your favorite club in the bag, what club would that be? And what's your worst club in the bag, if there is one?
Ooh. Okay, so it's between two. I would say a punch 3-wood is always like a good go-to swing for me, but my most favorite club in my bag is my 54-degree wedge. I am like lights out around the greens, and my short game has always been the best part of my game. When I was playing professionally, I had the yips off the tee, and so I had to take the driver out of my bag. I could only hit like a baby punch 3-wood, and then I had to scramble and get up and down from everywhere. But now it is my driver. Like, I love hitting my driver. So it's funny how things change. And my least favorite, 5-iron. I hate my 5-iron. I've never liked it. I don't know what it is about my 5-iron. And I just look at it, and I try to practice it, and it just doesn't work for me. I hate my 5-iron so much.
We are the absolute opposite. I love my 5-iron. And if you see me pull my 3-wood out of my bag, run, because it's not going to turn out well. Paige, appreciate
you. We need to give each other tips or something, because I need that confidence with my 5-iron.
We'll figure something out. Paige, appreciate you spending some time with us here on the CDGA Golf Show, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the Chicago Golf Show later on today.
Yeah, see you guys soon. Thanks for having me on.
That's Paige Sporanic, golf's number one social media influencer, joining us on the CDGA Golf Show. I think we had two.
Yeah.
We've had two long putts drop.
It took Paige Sporanic as a guest to get the crowd motivated. So.
Was it in? Did it go? It was a little kid. How about that?
Yeah, see, that's what this show is all about.
So, yeah, come on out here to the Chicago Golf Show. The CDGA Longest Putt Challenge is going on right now. And also, get your wallet ready and go to the CDGA Pro Shop as well. If you're one of the first 20 people to spend at least $100, you're going to have a chance to meet Paige Sporanic and Colt Knost later on this afternoon. It's not hard to spend $100 in there.
Oh, no.
It is not.
Some of that apparel and some of the things.
There is some great, great stuff in there in the CDGA Pro Shop. So be sure to come on out here to the Chicago Golf Show. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan hanging out with you. This segment was sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. When we come back, we'll recap what happened last week at the Riviera. Tiger, John Rahm, Max Homa, some great personalities going on. And I think we just had another one drop as well. So we'll be right back here on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Stuff with Paige Sporanic just now on the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you live from the Chicago Golf Show in Rosemont. And we've got another treat for you here on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Colt Knost joins us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So appreciate you hopping on with us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be in Chicago. It's cold here.
Well, no, yeah, kid. Did you fly in from Riviera?
I flew in from Scottsdale yesterday, which it's we've been complaining about the cold back home, but it's a totally different level here.
Colt Knost from CBS joining us. This segment sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course. So you're here at the Chicago Golf Show. I think I've seen you kind of get the lay of the land so far. What have you liked from being here in Rosemont?
I like being indoors. It's really good. But, no, this is incredible. Obviously, I've never been here before to walk around, see all the different things they got going on. This is quite the spectacle.
So I have to ask this question.
Oh, boy.
Where did the nickname Big Gravy come from?
Man, one day someone was talking to me on Twitter, chirping me as usual, and I fired back in. You know, the great Steve Elkington, major champion, two-time players champion, good buddy of mine, just said, hey, take it easy on my man Big Gravy. And I'm like, where the hell did that come from? And he's like, I like it. He goes, he's a big bourbon guy. And I guess there's a bourbon called Gravy, or I don't know. I'm not a bourbon guy. So he went with it, and it stuck.
That's amazing.
So you see that on social media. You're getting chirped as usual, right? Like, as a golfer and now as an analyst, like, is social media good for the sport of golf as someone who has lived both sides, both the media side and the player side?
I mean, it's good and bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the bad part is, you know, you miss a cut, you go have a few, you start responding to those chirpers, it gets you in trouble. Nobody likes that. But then there's the good things, like last week at Riviera when Tiger went over and signed a glove for that little girl who had the heart transplant.
Yeah, yep.
Checked off one of the marks on her bucket list item. I was right there, and I took a picture of it, put it on there, and everything went nuts. People from Augusta reached out. A lot of other people reached out about helping her, you know, click that third box of playing Augusta National, or at least going to Augusta National. And we just had her father on our radio show, and as far as I know, they're going Friday and Saturday to the Masters this year because of all this
awesome.
That has happened on social media. So it's really cool. I know with CBS, we've invited her in to come into Butler Cabin.
While she's there.
So
that's great.
It's gonna be really cool. So yeah, there's good and there's bad. I mean, the good is incredible. The bad, just some people, I don't understand why they think they need to take shots at people.
I've always wondered this too. How often, like after tournaments, like gambling's so prevalent in today's day and age, right? How often do you get a Venmo request?
Not very much.
Uh-huh. But you've gotten it before?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You ruined my DFS and all this. I'm like, trust me, it cost me way more than it cost you, buddy. But, yeah, occasionally. You know, one thing, I was just joking around one day at Phoenix Open a couple weeks ago, and I was like, man, you know, beers are expensive here. I need to be walking around having a few. My Venmo's at Colt Nost. And all of a sudden, I got literally like 30 people sent me $10. And I'm like, well, this is kind of a good idea. I'm going to start doing this every week. But I went around and bought beers for other people. But it's a crazy world we're living in right now.
Oh, yes. It certainly is. Cole, I want to take you back to 2007. And for a lot of people, they don't understand. You may have had one of the greatest summers in amateur golf. You're one of three people. You joined Jay Siegel and Bobby Jones for winning the United States Public Links Championship at Cantini right here in Wheaton, Illinois. Then you went out west in August and went to the Olympic Club and beat a lot of great players to win the U.S. Amateur. And then you led the United States with a 2-0-2 record to a one-point victory in the Walker Cup matches. And tell me, how did the win at Cantini help you with the momentum?
Yeah, so I was playing really well that whole year, going all the way back to college. I won my first three starts of the season. Ended up Monday qualifying for the Byron Nelson, made the cut as an AM, and then that just steamrolled me into the summer. And I decided to qualify for the Public Links. Never made match play in a USGA event. Got up here, loved the golf course, went into match play, and honestly just cruised. Played some unbelievable, probably the best golf I played all summer was the week at Cantini. I mean, I don't think I ever sniffed getting threatened by anybody. It was nice. I cruised through the finals. And the biggest thing for that was not only did it get me in the Masters, which I later turned down, but my biggest thing was it exempted me into the U.S. Amateur, which is all of our goals. Because before, they never had that top 50 world amateur rankings that exempted you into the U.S. Amateur.
So it was a Pub Links that got you into the amateur.
Yeah, so my win got me in. So I didn't have to go through that brutal 36-hole qualifying day. Even though I was one of the top 50 AMs in the world, they didn't exempt you back then. So you could be the best player in the world, but you go out and have a bad day, you're not in the U.S. Amateur, which is the biggest event of the year. That was huge for me and then that also got me on the radar with Buddy Marucci for the Walker Cup.
Okay.
You know, winning a USGA event. And then I went, I'll never forget, we were at an event in the summer, and Ernie Keeney, Trip Keeney's dad, came up to me. He's like, you're going to win the U.S. Amateur this year. And I'm like, I've never even made match play at the U.S. Amateur. Why do you think that? And he's like, I'm telling you, Olympic Club is perfect for you. He goes, you're the best iron player in the world right now in the amateur game. He goes, it sets up perfect. You're going to win. So I got there, and I saw the golf course, and I'm like, okay, I really like this place. And
It just fit your eye.
It just fit. I played really well in stroke play on the course the match play was on, the Lakes course. Struggled a little bit on the other one, but then got into match play, and I just felt like I was the best player there.
Well, and obviously you were.
Ended up being that way.
So have you been back to Cantini since the win?
I have not.
You have not.
No.
Wow. So do you play a lot? Have you played a lot of golf in Chicago?
A decent amount.
Yeah.
Played Butler. Have not played Medina. Where else have I played up here? Conway Farms, obviously, with the PGA Tour playoff event. I'm trying to think where else. There's a lot that I want to play. My buddy just joined Bobolink, which is, I heard, my kind of speed.
Oh, yeah.
They like to have a good time out there.
Oh, yes.
I've never played Chicago Golf Club. I'm trying to think of where else I've played. What's the one on the south side of Chicago? Beverly? Really cool. I played it since the redesign. That place is awesome.
Yeah, that place is really turned out nice. So tell me, on the Walker Cup, let's go back to the Walker Cup for a second. You were paired with Dustin Johnson. How did that pairing, and you guys did well, but did Marucci just see that you two would be a good fit, or did you make that call, or did DJ make the call?
No, so we were good buddies.
Okay.
So we roomed together a lot in amateur golf, because when you go out there, like, you normally stay in a hotel because that's out of any money.
Right.
And so you're traveling around. These events are expensive, so host families would put us up. And Justin and I stayed together quite a bit. And then we had a little practice squad where eight of the guys that qualified for the team went to Caves Valley and spent like 3 days.
Hmm.
And we still had two spots open for after the USAM. But us eight went up there. We did all the different formats, best ball, alternate shot, and he threw us out there together. And we steamrolled everyone on the USA team. We played, I think, 36 the first day and just beat everybody at least 6-5. Like, it wasn't even close.
Wow.
And he goes, well, we have one team. and that was before we even knew who the rest of the team was going to be. He just, for some reason, obviously we play very different games, but we just worked well together. And we went over there. We should have went 2-0. I missed a... Dustin tells you it's a two-footer. It was a six-footer to win the match against Rory McIlroy and Jonathan Caldwell. But I still go back to the story. We were one up with one to play, playing those two. And literally, I mean, the entire gallery is following this group because Rory McIlroy, it's in Ireland. I mean, he's the man.
Oh, yeah.
And I hit the drive off 18. It's a par five. And we have 232 yards to the front of the green. And Dustin wants to lay it up. I'm like, dude, you can hit 5-iron up there. These guys are in trouble. They're going to make par at best. I was like, just hit 5-iron up there. I promise you, we'll get it on the green. We'll have a birdie putt. He's like, I think we should lay up. Well, he lays it up in the tall fescue. I hit a sand wedge over the green. He blades a chip that hits the pin and goes to 6 feet, and then I lipped it out to win the match.
Oh, my God.
So I still blame him for the layup.
I don't blame
him.
So
he won't bring you on as a caddy now because of that.
That's fine.
So
his brother's got his hands full with him.
So, speaking of DJ, and obviously all the banter about Liv, has your relationship with DJ changed at all because of it?
I have no ill will towards any of the guys that went. We definitely don't talk as much as we used to.
Sure.
You know, I'm not a fan of Liv, but at the same time, like I said, I have no ill will to the guys that went and took that money because it's life-changing. It's generational money.
Oh, yeah.
Do I like what it's done to the game of golf? No. But it has, you know, push the PGA Tour to adapt, and they've done some great things. And I mean, you look at what happened with these designated events. Look at Phoenix, look at LA last week. I mean, what more can you ask for? You
right.
got the best players in the world battling it out. I mean, we had Scottie Scheffler win one, and we had John Rahm win the other, battling Max Homa, who in my opinion is probably the fourth best player in the world right now.
Agreed.
And Liv's not dumb, right? They're going up against the Honda Classic this week, which
right.
you know, the next 2 weeks are designated events, so that the guys don't play five in a row. So that field got hurt really bad. And so, obviously, there's no surprise they're going up against them.
Yep. Colt Knows from CBS joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So you brought up, you don't like Liv, but you get it, right? Do you kind of see it as a necessary evil to advance the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's done a lot of good things for the PGA Tour, but they have took away a few of our stars, which, you know, they took away the villains.
They did.
I mean, yes. You know, they took away the Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, and Patrick Reed.
Right.
I mean, like, that's good for the game of golf, those three guys being involved, Bryson and Brooks having their feud, whether it was real or not. It's made golf a lot more popular, there's no doubt. Do I think it'll last? No. I just don't understand how they can keep dumping all this money you know, obviously the offers have gone down. That's why they don't have any more of the big stars. They gave so much money to some of those guys early on that I think now they're kind of like, oh, okay, we got to slow this down a little bit. I mean, when they're giving, I believe, Joaquin Niemann $90 million, it's like, okay. And then they're offering guys that are have a lot much better resume and are much more well-known less money than that. I don't blame the guys for not going.
Absolutely. So joining CBS, you joined, what, in 2022? What has been the most challenging thing transitioning from being a tour player to essentially being somebody in the media?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, you want to just get into, like, the fun stuff. Like, it's you get really spoiled having that courtesy car pull up right outside of baggage claim for you. Now I got to get on rental car shuttles. That's not really my most favorite thing. But everything's been great, honestly. Like, the players have treated me just the same way they had when I was a player. Now, I mean, there is that, will they open up as much? Probably not. But I think they know me well enough to know that I'm never going to cross that line. I go to dinner with these guys all the time out on the road. They say things. I know I can't say it on air. And I think they know that. And if I ever do say it, then I break their trust. And that's the worst thing that could happen for me. But for the most part, it has been awesome. I mean, I've been so lucky because I think I hesitate to call myself an athlete. But, you know, as an athlete, like, you never have a plan B, right? You always think, like, you're going to have this great career. You're going to kill it. You're going to ride off into the sunset. Well, it doesn't happen for very many people. So the question is, what do you do next? And this thing, I got so lucky that it kind of just fell into my lap, and it happened to be that people think I'm good at it.
Yeah.
So you bring up, you go to dinner with a lot of these guys. You're still friends with a lot of these guys. What is, like, four guys going to dinner on the PGA Tour right now? Who are you picking?
Normally it's Gary Woodland, who's my best buddy in the world, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and then you throw in, I mean, if I'm picking, I throw in Kevin Kisner just because of his trash talking and how funny he is. But we got the Barstool guys over here. Did you find that hoodie on the floor? But no, there's so many great guys out there, man. Golf's in a great place. You look at how strong it is from top to bottom on the PGA Tour right now. It's crazy. These guys, and I get to walk with the best players in the world every single week, and to watch them, what they do out there. Like, I had some good weeks out there, but I never played with the likes of Rory McIlroy in a tournament, John Rahm. It's insane how good they are. And it makes me feel good to know that I made the right decision when I quit.
Yeah, that's something to be said for that. So now when you're preparing week in and week out for being a foot soldier out on the tour with these guys, what kind of preparation do you have to do when you don't really know what the leaderboard's going to look like?
Yeah, obviously Thursday, Friday, you go with one of the big name groups, so that's no problem. I don't do a lot of prep.
Really?
Because most of my stuff's I react
okay
to what's going on out there, and I know most of the guys well enough. I know some inside stuff to share some stories. Now, if it's a young kid that I don't know much, I'll reach out to find out who his coach is, who his friends are, his college coach, and I'll reach out and try to get some stuff on there or go talk to him. Always go to the range before, try to see what they're working on. But for me, most of the part, like, my job's not to tell a lot of stories. My job's to react to what's going on out there. So I just try to do that and make it as entertaining and as fun as possible.
Well, I have to tell you, your breath of fresh air and your sense of humor is spot on. So
I appreciate it. I mean, here's the deal. It's a show, right?
It is.
I mean, it's supposed to be fun.
Entertainment.
I mean, my favorite broadcaster in the world is Charles Barkley. And I was telling Barry this just before I came on. Like, I'm not the biggest – I love watching basketball, but I'm not a diehard NBA guy. I don't understand everything that's going on. But when I listen to him, I know what he's talking about. And so for me, like, I'm not a big stat guy, a big strokes gain guy. I want to make it so the 15 handicap understands exactly what I'm talking about.
That's very cool.
Colt, appreciate you hanging out with us here at the Chicago Golf Show, and look forward to hanging out with you a little bit later on as well.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Colt Knows from CBS joining us here on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. This segment sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course, the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
If
at the Chicago Golf Show here for the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan having a blast out here. And we just had Colt Nostone. We had Paige Spiranek on earlier as well. If you miss any of it, be sure to check out the podcast of the CDGA Golf Show on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. We'll get to what we saw last week at the Genesis in just a little bit, but we've had the longest putt going on. We heard a great story from Greg Morin, our fantastic sales guy here at ESPN 1000, telling us a seven-year-old went up there on this 100-foot putt, knocks it down, then dad says, all right, let's put your ego in check here a little bit. He steps up right after. He knocks it down. It's like the father and the son. They're playing one-on-one in the driveway all the time, right? And dad's not ready to let his dominance go away quite yet. He steps up and hits the 100-foot putt right after him.
And I think the youngster will be first to point out it took dad his third ball to do it. But let me tell you, that is going to be a memory that young man will walk away with, and he will tell that story 30 years from now when he's back here as a full-fledged adult. He will always talk about that moment that he spent with his father, and that's exactly what the game of golf does. It brings people together.
And maybe his son will show him up one day. We're here live at the Chicago Golf Show. Come on out. We're here for a couple more minutes, and when we come back, we'll get you what we saw from Riviera last week. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thanks for listening and hanging out with us here at the Chicago Golf Show. This is the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We'll be back with you next week. We're going to start at our usual time, though, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000 every Saturday morning with you here during the golf season. Looking forward to spending it with you, getting you closer and closer to golf, the real golf season kicking off. This is the unofficial start here at the Chicago Golf Show, but we've had a ton of fun with you here today. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. We talked with Paige Spiranek. We talked with Colt Nose. It's been a lot of fun here, and I'm excited to hang out here for a little bit after and just kind of make the rounds, because this is just a golf paradise that we've got going on here in Rosemont.
It really is. It's a great version of a candy store for golfers. And let me tell you, if this is any indicator on what we can expect for the season of 2023, I think golf is in a great, great place.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you are one of the first 20 people in the CDGA Pro Shop to spend at least $100, you'll get a meet and greet with Paige Spiranek and Colt Nose later on this afternoon here at the Chicago Golf Show in Rosemont. So looking forward to everything going on later on today. So let's rewind a little bit back to the Genesis from a week ago. John Rahm wins it with a score of 17 under. You know, Max Homa gave him a run there at the end. Oh, that would have been fantastic theater. He lips out on that chip shot on 18. Oh, so close to being one of the great shots that we've seen this season so far. And heartbreak there, but a fantastic finish there. And of course, the Tiger Woods storyline that comes along with it. The fact that he does, in his first PGA Tour start of the year, make it the full four rounds, I think, was heroic in and of itself.
Absolutely, no doubt. I thought he was the greatest host at one of the greatest venues, Riviera. And once he got done at 18, playing 72 holes, just like you said, for the first time in quite a while, he then turned it over to the John Rahm and Max Homa show. And I have to tell you, John Rahm is the real deal. He is the best player on the planet right now. In 2 months, he has earned $9.4 million. He is the quickest to three wins since Johnny Miller in 1975. And unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember it, and you're not.
So the one thing, you bring up Rahm. He has been fantastic this year. And, I mean, he'll be one of the big favorites every single major that we get to on the calendar. But Max Homa,
I think this was an important sort of segment of his career that he's in the middle of right now. You heard Colt say a little bit ago with us, he thinks he's the fourth best golfer in the world right now. He is showing that he's more than just an internet guy, right? And I think that was an important part of his legacy, to show that he's more than just this guy on Twitter, this guy who goes on different shows and has all this personality. It's time to show that you are the real deal as a golfer, and he has certainly shown that and then some so far this year.
Oh, entertaining as all get out. And I'll tell you, Max Homa was within an eyelash of a win, not only on the chip at 18, mm-hmm. but I want to rewind you back to Friday afternoon when John Rahm hit, I believe it was a 7-wood into 17. He airmailed everything,
yes.
hits the bleacher,
yep.
mind you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hits it and goes up about 6 feet. He makes eagle, right? At best, he makes par.
Right.
And maybe even bogey if there's no grandstand. I mean, because that was such a short side. So that shot prevented, in my opinion, Max Homa from winning, not the chip shot he lifted up.
Right. I would have loved to see a playoff between those two as well.
I think everybody in the world was, because they were playing such great golf between the two of them.
So what do you see as Homa's outlook once we do get into the major season, the Masters, U.S. Open, PGA, and then, of course, the Open Championship? What do you view as his outlook? Like, do you see him as a guy that can be in that top five, or does he just not have that big-time experience in the majors quite yet, where he may struggle, he gets to Sunday, and all of a sudden those hands become a little shakier?
Well, you know, I was also captivated by Max Homa's just emotion at the end. He broke down twice because that golf course, that market is where he grew up.
Yes.
I think Max Homa's going to win an Open, and I think it could be the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club. And I think that would be a fitting end for that young man. And I think he is going to win a major this year. It'll either be the Open or the PGA, but I think he's going to win. He's playing some really great golf.
Yeah, and of course, you mentioned the California kid. He has so much success out in California along the PGA Tour as well. So Max Homa going to be one of the fun stories to watch this year. We saw a bunch of fun stories last year, whether it was Will Zalatoris and his rise to not winning, but it felt like he was in second in every single tournament he played in last year, which is just kind of the beast of being in a golf-style tournament. And then you also had guys like Matthew Fitzpatrick going back, winning at the Country Club in Brookline last year for the U.S. Open. I mean, there were so many fun, young, up-and-coming guys. And Homa's right there in that pack right now of all these guys. And not to mention the fact that you still have a younger guard that has won major championships as well, like Colin Morikawa, who is still right in the thick of things every single tournament that he's in as well.
Yeah, and you know something? We didn't even mention Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth in any of these, right?
Exactly.
And that goes back to my point earlier. We are speaking about Will Zalatoris and Max Homa like they're regular stars now. Mm-hmm. A year and a half ago, we were like, who?
Right.
And I mean, and that's how quickly the landscape in professional golf is about to change. And it is so going to be so fun to watch this year.
It was funny because a year ago when we were having these conversations, we'd see a name like Will Zalatoris atop a leaderboard and we'd be like, this is a problem for golf.
Yeah.
And now it's a good thing because he's established himself. He's a fun personality as well. So it should be a lot of fun to watch over the course of this season. Thank you so much to everyone who came out and saw us here at the Chicago Golf Show. Thank you to Charlie Bevins for producing back at the shop. Thank you to Shane Norling. Thank you to Jake Cantu. And thank you to Greg Morin as well for showing up here. And thank you to our presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. Saw Ron Cassidy here today. Lots of fun here at the Chicago Golf Show. This segment was sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Reminder, we will be back next week, 8 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000, 8 to 10 a.m. every week during the golf season. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.